Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel once again. So here I am, hyperactive on the channel. Anyway, speaking about the first few days of the Labour government, because it was on Friday morning that Rishi Sunak tendered his resignation and Sir Keir Starmer was summoned to Buckingham Palace to kiss the hands of Charles III. So Starmer's now Prime Minister, appointed his cabinet the first day. Emily Thornberry, who was in the shadow cabinet, she's been left out. So that's one of the few surprising decisions. He's also brought back some Blairite liars and failures, like Alan Milburn. So wait a second, sorry, this is all about change and you're bringing back Blairite figures and then booting some people upstairs to the Lords where they can be government ministers there, like Jackie Smith. So stop pretending it's about change. There are many illogicalities in Labour's campaign. Oh, Tory chaos, let's have change. But wait a second, chaos means too many changes. And now you want to change everything? Change the party, change every single government minister and change many of the policies. If you want stability, you would want the same party to continue in government. But anyway, but where they are actually showing continuity with the Conservatives is they say, we are four square behind Ukraine, sending their defense secretary to Ukraine. He's had a meeting with President Zelensky and his Ukrainian analog already. So surely credit where it's due, both for the Labour government, but also for the outgoing Conservatives to say, yes, we're dead on that policy and we're going to get up to 2.5% of GDP spent on defence. But Labour said they'll do it by the end of the decade. The Conservatives were going to do it within the next 5 years. But there's not, obviously, there's not that big a difference between the two. What else? So I'm going to recruit 6,500 teachers in England, not the United Kingdom as a whole, England. Because remember, education is a devolved matter. This is the confusing thing. Some matters Westminster controls the United Kingdom as a whole, and some matters it controls England only. So I'll believe it when I see it, but I might make another video as why not to go into teaching in the United Kingdom. So advertising for people like that. What makes them think that enough people are going to come forward, especially people of quality, when it's such a difficult job, when it's obviously so badly paid for the enormously high stress levels, and particularly to recruit people in STEM subjects, severe shortages in people teaching mathematics, physics, chemistry, information technology, economics. Now, not being disrespectful to those who teach STEM subjects, some of them are outstanding, but some of them do it because they're terrible and can't get a job in anything else. They got a third class degree from the worst university in the United Kingdom, of which 140, they can still get a job teaching. So, people being sworn at, being spat at, of course, everybody's in danger of being accused of a crime against a child. And even if the teacher is totally exonerated, there's a question mark over his or her reputation, and men are far more likely to be accused than women, for life. Because they, well, didn't quite prove it, they must have done it. And even if it's proved for certain that the child made a completely bogus accusation, that's always going to be on the person's record. There is no comeback. The child is not penalised in any way. So why wouldn't they false accuse? Chopping and changing the exam system and the curriculum, constantly really stressing people out. So it's voted one of the most stressful jobs in the UK. So I don't think they're going to achieve that target, and particularly in the STEM subjects. I don't know, why is it more attractive to be a teacher now than it was last week? Of course, they're always trying to recruit more teachers. I mean, the obvious answer is to recruit them from Commonwealth countries like India, as they have mutual recognition of qualifications, instead of putting them through pointless training, just wasting time and money and all the rest of it. Okay, so what else are they going to do? Now, attempting to reach a deal on pay with the junior doctors. Now, if Labour achieves that, and they're actually very bullish about this, saying this might be sorted out within a week, now that really would be a feather in their cap. One of the only decisions I applaud is saying we're going to scrap this ban on onshore wind farms. Go ahead. David Cameron brought that in, the most idiotic thing he ever did, because he's all about, vote blue, go green, an environmentalist. Well, if you care about ecology and the transition to renewable energy, then you want wind farms everywhere. Now, let's get to 100% renewable. And then we can worry and be a bit fussy and say, that one's a bit unsightly, or that one's killing too many birds. Because, renewable energy is a win, 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 win. As in, so it's cleaner, it's quieter, it increases energy independence, and it's obviously not going to lead to carbon emissions and global warming. So it's just good news all round. I mean, it is quite expensive at the moment, but the cost is coming down. And we know, obviously, wind and sun is a little bit predictable, whereas oil and gas prices can be up and down all the time. So forging ahead with that, I mean, why on earth did the Conservative Party not do this ages ago? All right, there are a few NIMBYs in the countryside saying this is unsightly or something like that. But Labour, partly because it's a largely an urban party, doesn't have to worry about that too much and just railroad it through. Saying they're going to build 1.5 million homes over the next 5 years. Well, again, I think that's overambitious. I'd be delighted if it were to happen. But why does nobody go at my suggestions of saying you can redevelop brownfield sites? No planning permission needed. Just go do it. You know, so long as you don't build it higher than it was before and obstruct people's view, you can do it. Now, the one thing is we do need to think about, is that the road capacity, rail capacity, to the local schools, GPs, clinics, and so on, do they have the capacity? If there's a village of 1,000 and you double it, the population within 1 year, that might put excessive strain on public services in the area. Okay, so what else have they done apart from that in the cabinet? I mean, going to meet all these leaders in the devolved administrations, there's that lap of victory. And of course, people are willing to give Labour a chance. The SNP's with its tail, it's got its tail in between its legs. So they know there's not much sense about being rude to Labour. And, you know, Labour always goes down well with Irish nationalists. So Sinn Féin, no doubt, know that they're giving the Labour Party a bit of a bear hug. Labour already governs in Wales anyway. There have been six elections to the Senedd, and Labour have won 6 out of 6 and are predicted to win a seventh. So that's going to be very easy for them. So, you know, of the four legislatures within the United Kingdom, the Northern Ireland Assembly, Holyrood, the Welsh Parliament, and the UK Parliament, Labour's got 2 out of 4. They're probably going to get 3 out of 4 in a couple of years, win Holyrood back in Caledonia. They don't even stand in Northern Ireland, but they still have 3 out of 4. I mean, I suppose you could look at the London Assembly where, you know, they got about half of them. They're the biggest party, though. Yeah. Anything else to comment on in the first few days? Okay, this completely unworkable plan to tackle the small boats. Well, there's nothing new there. The only thing which is having a limited effect, the Rwanda plan, has been scrapped. I mean, was it good value for money? Probably not. Okay. So what can I say? They're not really proposing to do anything else. Obviously, the NATO summit is coming up in Washington, D.C., which is going to be the 75th anniversary of the foundation of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So, that would be a good thing. So they have been very active, having a cabinet meeting on Sunday, and that hasn't happened for over 20 years. Angela Rayner, as Deputy Prime Minister, my God, what does he take us for? How horrific. Yes, she is John Prescott in a skirt, which is not a good thing. Someone who's a national disgrace. And though he's some sort of hero to the Labour Party, don't forget a female journalist claimed that he sexually assaulted her. Now, I don't know that to be true. Okay, I give him the presumption of innocence. He was never convicted of anything. He was never charged with a crime. But these days, especially on the left, accusation equals conviction. That someone who's been accused of something has to be cast into the outer darkness. And yet, Labour is curiously reticent on this one because he's such an icon of the Labour Party. So they're in their cozy offices and they're enjoying the trappings of power. So Blair is backseat driving. You know, they're going to be squabbling, these Labour cabinet ministers, over who gets Dorneywood and things like that. I mean, Angela Rayner is spending half her time in Manchester. Well, I think it's a good thing, keep her as far away from power as possible, limit the damage she can do. But flippancy aside, I think it's good to draw more attention away from London, because I know that outside London, there's a bit of anti-London sentiment that London gets everything. It's the biggest city. It's a rich city. It disproportionately gets the money. It's 12% of the population, but way more than 12% of the money. And everybody pays tax. A lot of it goes to London. What about the regions? So you've got to look to them. And Manchester is the third biggest city in the United Kingdom. That needs more focus as well. And there's so much talk about this or that, the Elizabeth Line. We need improved infrastructure in Northern England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and so forth. So obviously not a bad few days to begin with, but, you know, it's always quite easy at the beginning for a government, especially when you've got a very healthy majority, as Labour does. There'll be a bit of a honeymoon. Labour will be constantly harping on, oh, 14 years of Tory chaos, we inherited such a terrible situation. Now, some of that is a lie, actually. The economy is all moving in the right direction, even if not moving very fast. But the public are willing to give them a chance, that there's not a burst of enthusiasm behind them. People are just exhausted from politics, especially after, you know, a 6 week electoral campaign. And other things is, you know, how was it? Five Conservative prime ministers, or if you go from the end of Cameron since 2006, so in the you could say this is the sixth prime minister in 8 years. So by just being carrying on being quite dull, he might be fairly popular, so long as they're like no disasters. But, you know, I say Labour's going to disappoint, but they won't disappoint that much, partly because they set the bar low, cunningly, not promising things that are that difficult to deliver. But we shall see. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.